I'll go over there and shake hands, smile, hug their neck.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we got to do.
We got to stop that buddy ball. Smash everybody in the mouth.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
You're in the Doghouse with Rick Watson and Big Dog Sports Talk on the WRAD Talk Network.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
You know what that means? Do you? We're the underdog. We're mutts.
My number one play is the power sweep.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Welcome in to Hour 3, the Power Hour, on Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Join the conversation now on the Long & Foster Baker Team Hotline, 540-639-4900, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go, I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go.
It's true.
'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane.
So long, Kitty.
Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe,
yes, we've had a certain theme going throughout the morning. Hope you're well wherever you might be. David Teal coming up in about half an hour. It's time now, though, for the voice of Virginia Tech football. It is Bill Roth and the Roth Report.
From the talk of the New River Valley WRAD, it's time for the Roth Report. Now, along with Virginia Sports Hall of Famer, current ESPN broadcaster, and voice of Virginia Tech football, Bill Roth, here's Rick Watson.
And good morning, William. How are you, my friend?
Oh, man, good to be with you again this morning. How are things?
Good to be with you. Hanging in there, man. I hope you are as well. Lots going on. One certain topic has been wild this morning.
Yeah, I feel for Hokie fans, for Hokie administrators, for everyone involved in Tech athletics who got close to Kenny and who respects, well, we all respect Kenny Brooks and know what he did at Tech. You know, we had, 15 years between NCAA tournament bids for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, Kenny is the coach, and our community and our athletics program helped build a really great program over the last 4 years. And to see Kenny leave for Kentucky, we knew that the era of, you know, Liz Kittley was ending and likely Georgia Amor and others was ending, right? Because, well, that's what happens in college athletics. People graduate and move on and whatnot. But, you know, when that job opened up, Kentucky had a longtime coach. They moved an assistant up and they made a decision to let her go. You know, whenever there's an opening in the SEC, particularly at a school that borders Virginia, it comes on your radar right away, and it did for me. And I think last Friday we kind of all had a sense, even before that Marshall game, that this could happen.
Well, there's no doubt, and I know fans are, you know, pointing fingers and things like that. Certain fans, not all. Many of them have the understanding, but I know in a perfect world you would have loved to have been able to keep him, but there's certain things you have to take in consideration, and sometimes the offer is just too good at another place.
Part of it is that. I think, you know, Coach Beamer kind of spoiled us. You know, you win and just stay in the same job.
Yeah.
Keep winning.
That's a good point.
And never leave. And there's some loyalty. You know, Tech was really good to Kenny. Kenny was really good for for Virginia Tech. I think it went both ways. But it wasn't just Kenny that built the program. I mean, he did. He deserves much of the credit. But, you know, institutionally in the athletic department,
right,
and the fan base,
right,
what that Castle Guard does, you know, there's great opportunities to win here at Tech again. And, you know, I mean, it's just unusual for Tech for one of its most successful coaches to leave like this, right? But, I mean, what, Nick Saban won a national championship at LSU.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And, I mean, you could go down the list of coaches that have won big and left. I mean, Kim Mulkey, she won three national titles at Baylor and left for LSU. So,
right,
you know, it does happen in the business. Kentucky is a blue blood basketball school, no more so for its men, but they've got a standalone women's facility. They're spending over $80 million to renovate it now. But, you know, the Hokies have done pretty well since Whit Babcock was hired in attracting really talented basketball coaches to Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he attracted Buzz Williams, who won big. He attracted Kenny Brooks, who won big. He hired Mike Young, who won the school's only ACC basketball championship. So, you know, Whit does have, at Virginia Tech, you know, he brought Mick Cronin to Cincinnati, right? So, I mean, he's done a nice job when it comes to men's basketball and women's basketball coaches. He's got a nice record there, and it's a really attractive job. I mean, Kenny was making a lot of money, right? He was one of the top 20 highest-paid women's basketball coaches. It doesn't take away the sting, though, so, you know, you feel for Tech fans. I feel for everyone that's poured so much into the program, and now when a coach leaves, he or she takes more than his staff. I mean, there's a recruiting class that likely follows him to Lexington, and that was, a top 10 class the Tech had signed.
Well, they'll hire a good coach, just like you said, and they'll start their own legacy, and I hope fans give that latitude. Speaking of latitude, how about this ACC in the NCAA tournament? I heard the league was down this year, Bill.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I wanted to talk about that today because it was just 3 weeks ago on the show we were talking about why some national folks were thinking only two ACC teams may make the tournament, and yet here we are. After a couple of weeks, and the ACC is 8-1 in this year's tournament. Virginia, the lone loss. Four teams in the Sweet 16, Duke and Carolina and Clemson and NC State. You know, this is the 13th time that the ACC has had four teams in the Sweet 16.
Crazy.
And a lot of it's had four in the last 10 years. Actually, five times now in the last 10 years, Rick.
Yeah, counting this year, right.
15. 2016, 2018, 2019, and this year. So, you know, it's been good. I think that, you know, the way the ACC is perceived has something to do with you don't want to boast. You know, the ACC sends out a email weekly called Points of Pride. And that is a stretch for the league. You know, when you're really good, you don't necessarily want to go brag about it. And I don't know that anyone in the media has championed how good the ACC was. We were talking, you know, this year everyone talked about how the Big 12 was the best league. And it probably was, right? They had a lot of really good teams. But the ACC during the regular season, Rick, went 9-3 against the Big 12.
Right.
And then in the tournament, 2-0. So in 14 games, the ACC was 11-3 against the Big 12. Now, that doesn't take anything away. Yeah, the Big 12 was really good. But if you're 11-3 against someone, you can't be that bad, right?
No, not at all. Not at all.
And, you know, Clemson was a really good team. We knew they had Paul was one of their best players that they've had in a long time. They got Joe Girard to transfer from Syracuse in the portal. Incredible veteran guy. Why did Clemson not get any respect? And we talked about this before. It's like, When Duke and Carolina go to the Final Four, everyone just expects it. When Duke and Carolina are really good, everyone says, well, that's because they're Duke and Carolina, right? But when Miami makes the Final Four, how does the ACC not get a lot of credit that Miami goes to the Final Four, right?
And yeah, you're right.
I think we're seeing that now. Like, And by the way, now all four teams in the Sweet 16 have tough games this weekend, right? Three of the four are underdogs. And it wouldn't shock you if Alabama beat Carolina, right?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
They play high-scoring games, and the analytics show us how good Bama is offensively. But, you know, the last 10 years, the ACC has won 67% of its NCAA tournament games. They've won three titles. They've won 107 games, more than any other league. And they do very well in this tournament. And I don't know about you, so if you read this past week, Jim Phillips talked about maybe when you look at the net, which is the one of the factors that the league uses or the committee uses to select and see teams as well as others, but when you look at the metrics of it, does playing 20 regular season games hurt the ACC? Jim says it might, because what happens is if you have 15 teams in your league and you play 20 conference games, that's 30 more losses during the course of the season for your team, for your league. You know,
right.
What I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And not every one of them is a quad one loss.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking about it as you're saying it. Yeah. There's something to that, I think. Oh, did we lose Bill? Bill, did we lose you? I think we have. There we go. Now we got him back. Bill, are you back with us?
I'm with you. Yeah, Georgia Tech ended up being a really good team at home this year. They beat Duke and Carolina, and yet those were bad losses. I think we have a pretty good league. It doesn't have anyone in the national media really championing it. And the Big 12, conversely, we're the best. And, you know, I don't know. That being said, if you brag too much now, I'm serious. Like, the ACC could lose all four games.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, yeah, we're done.
But I think they've done well in this tournament, and whether they cut it back to 18 games, I don't know. It's something that Jim thinks might help, but you know the committee, they're human, and everyone says, well, the ACC is down. You know, Virginia just barely got in, Rick.
Yeah, right.
But we'll see how it goes this week.
Absolutely.
By the way, there are now 40 ACC players in the transfer.
Yeah, it's a big number. Two of which, well, one particular in Blacksburg, kind of gotten everybody's attention with Lynn Kidd.
Atoki starting center, and John Camden also is in there. There's 1,000 players nationally in the portal.
Unbelievable.
We just opened the portal here on this past week.
Right.
So
right.
There are a lot of good players out there. You know, I looked just this morning just to see what it looked like, and all those kids from Stanford are in it, and Michigan. There's some good players out there. And well, anybody that's made a coaching change, there's players in
it. Well, that's exactly right, and they're going to follow. That's right. Yeah. Well, we're segueing pretty soon out of the winter sports here after March Madness, but the spring sports off to a great start. The stick and ball sports in Blacksburg, huh?
Man, it looks like this could be an amazing spring on the diamonds, right? Baseball and softball are both playing great. Softball team's ranked 11th in the country. They're 25-5 with a tie. Cam Fagan was the Division I Player of the Week. They announced that yesterday. She had 12 hits last week. She was the ACC Player of the Week and the Division I National Player of the Week. And they're playing great. Baseball is 19-4. They've won 7 in a row. They're 8-1 in the ACC. And baseball's ranked 13th in the country. And they've got Pitt coming in this weekend. Those games are tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. And then Wake is here next week at English Field. But the way you look at it, so it's kind of the inverse of basketball, right? In the ACC, Clemson is third in the nation. Virginia's 9. Duke is 11. Wake is 12. The Hokies are 13. Carolina's 14. And Florida State 17th. Yeah. So you have 7 teams in the top 17. So what's going to happen? Everybody is going to get off to this like 28-5 start, right? And then split the 18 games.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's nice to see that kind of competitiveness, just like we saw in women's basketball, right up and down the line this year.
So I like it. You know, yeah. ACC and SEC are obviously the two dominant teams when it comes to baseball.
Absolutely. It's Bill Roth and the Roth Report here on BDST. We'll step out, take a break. We'll come back. Bill's going to have the SMA update. Always a lot going on with the young people in his program. The Baker team game of the week. I don't envy that task this week. And his NRV Heart Clinic top three. All that's coming up with the voice of Virginia Tech football, Bill Roth. After this, stay with us as we motor along here on a Wednesday.
I love to golf. I'm just not very good. I can hit a 7-iron okay, but not a 3, so I never pull the 3 out of the bag. When I go to the driving range, it's 7-iron and driver over and over. I don't practice with the 3 because I hate hitting it. And guess what? I never get any better. This is Paul from New River Radio and Digital with this NRV Business Booster. Each of us has things we do really well, usually things we like to do. We do them over and over. But each of us has things we don't do well, things that are uncomfortable but part of our job. We can still improve the things we already do well, but our strengths only take us as far as our weaknesses allow. The chain is only as strong as the weakest link, right? When we identify where we really need to improve and focus on getting better at those things, the difference in performance is dramatic and visible to everyone. Want to make a quantum leap in your own value? Learn how to hit a 3-iron. And keep listening for more business boosters.
First in Maine is a beautiful shopping center located right here in Blacksburg and has the perfect mix of shops, restaurants, and entertainment. Grab some new shoes and accessories at Runabout Sports and Walkabout Outfitter to make your hikes around the NRV even better. Looking to grab a bite to eat? Well, First in Maine has great restaurants like Avellino's and Bull and Bones. Looking for some family entertainment? Then check out B&B Theaters for movies, the arcade, and bowling. And True Value Hardware for your home improvement projects. Visit First in Maine today, the official entertainment destination of Virginia Tech Athletics.
Louise Baker, the Louise Baker team of Long and Foster Realtors. If baseball is your passion, the last of our Virginia Tech spring ticket giveaway will be April the 3rd during the Roth Report and Big Dog Sports Talk at 8 o'clock. Wake Forest comes to English Field for a Saturday night game. Listen to Rick Watson, Big Dog Sports Talk, for more details. Louise, Marshall, and Rhonda, the Louise Baker team of Long and Foster Realtors, remind you to go Hokies.
From the classroom to the studio to the stadium, it's time to catch up on the latest from Virginia Tech's Sports Media and Analytics Program. Today's SMA update is brought to you by First in Maine, Blacksburg's premier destination to eat, drink, shop, and play.
We're rolling along with the Roth Report here on BDST and the SMA update. Bill, what's going on now?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we have 351 students at Tech in our SMA program, Sports Media and Analytics. And I'm looking at the calendar right now. The last day of classes is Wednesday, May 1, which is 5 weeks from today.
Wow.
5 weeks left in the semester. So this is crunch time. And I'm really excited with some of the things that they're doing. And we talked about softball being ranked. All Tech softball games at home via Learfield on our Virginia Tech Sports Network. The broadcasters are our SMA students. So it's a great opportunity for them in a professional environment, great collaboration for our program and for through Learfield and through Tech Athletics. So you can follow the softball team. One of our recent grads, Tyler Katz, called the UVA lacrosse doubleheader this past weekend for ACC Network. I think it's always exciting when our students get to do Hokie Vision and ACC Network games in Blacksburg, but when UVA calls on our students to do games, I get a little extra jolt.
Yeah,
pride.
Absolutely.
He did a good job. Virginia lacrosse is really good, both on the guy's side and on the lady's side. TK got to call both of those games over the weekend up in Charlottesville.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Yeah, the arch rival saying, hey, iTech, we need to borrow some people. There you go. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. All right, Baker team game of the week, man. Good luck.
Where are we going with this?
No.
Louise is going to be in the studio next week. We're going to give away tickets to the Saturday night 7 o'clock Wake Forest Virginia Tech baseball game next week. That'll be our game of the week next week. How's that?
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
For this week.
Perfect, perfect.
For this week, I don't know. I struggled with this a little bit because we're going NCAA men's tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I think that Alabama-Carolina game could be really special. Heels on upset alert for Alabama, by the way.
Yeah, they are.
But I think they'll rise to the occasion, but it should be a great game. So here are my choices. You help me pick. Duke is playing Houston. The Cougars are number one overall. They're a tremendous team.
Well, let's see here. Did we drop again there with Bill?
Creighton versus Tennessee would be the game I think we go with.
Yeah.
Our Baker team game of the week.
I like the Houston game, too. I think they might be the most susceptible on Carolina. That's going to be fun. I don't think you can lose any way you go here, to be honest with you. Right? They're all outstanding matchups in this Sweet 16. Although we haven't had that big moment yet, though, in this tournament.
It's coming.
It's coming. It's got to. It's got to. All right, time now for Bill's NRV Heart Clinic Top 3.
Are you ready for today's countdown? It's time for Bill's Top 3. Now back to Rick Watson.
All right, what are we looking at here today?
Well, I'm reading, you know, Louisville has yet to make an announcement on its new head men's coach. And yesterday, the word came out that Richard Pitino could be the new Louisville coach.
Saw that.
And so that would be interesting, right? And I was thinking about fathers and sons who have coached the same team.
Oh, very cool.
The same team. I mean, we've had lots of father-son coaches, right?
We have.
The Bowdens,
yes.
The Moras, the Shanahans,
mm-hmm.
The Beamers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Plenty of father-son coaches. But what about the father who coached and then his son ends up coaching the same team? That's our top three.
Oh, I like this a lot. Okay.
And I really came up with four, so we're going to have a tie for third. Eddie and Sean Sutton both coached at Oklahoma State.
Right.
He's at Baylor now, but Scott Drew was at Valpo. And Homer Drew, of course, was the legendary Valparaiso.
That's
coach.
Right. That's right.
So Homer and Scott Drew. So that's three. Number two on my list of fathers and sons who have coached the same team, Dick and Tony Bennett, Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dick did such a great job out there.
Yes, he did.
That's, of course, where Tony was. And number one on my list, on our NRV Heart Clinic Top 3, number one, fathers and sons who've coached the same team, a father-son combo that combined did great, but one dad carried most of the weight.
Yes, he did.
And we're going up the road to Georgetown University, to John Thompson, who, of course, was John Thompson Jr., the legendary head coach of Hoyas and Hoya Paranoia. Great, great coach. National champion winner.
Mm-hmm.
And then his son, John Thompson III, who did not have the success of his dad.
He did not. John Thompson Jr., what a good dude, too. I had a chance to interview him a couple times. What a great guy and an ambassador for lots of things beyond basketball.
Now, when the Big East was at the height of its power, John, the Big East had such characters, right? You had that Italian crew, right? Where you had Louis Carnesecca and Raleigh Massimino.
Yes.
And Dom Perno at Connecticut. And P.J. Carlesimo at Seton Hall, right? And I mean, it was like Big East meetings.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, Linda Bruno was the associate commissioner, and Mike Trangisi, like everyone was Italian.
Right.
And then there was Big John.
And then there was John.
If you watched documentary, The Requiem for the Big East, and they tell the stories of those meetings, that John would be towering over everybody. Was massive man.
Yeah.
And then he would yell and then smile.
Like, yeah.
So much of it was an act.
Yeah, it was. It was.
But he did care about his kids, and he changed the way college basketball coaches, particularly black head coaches, were perceived in our country, and really did an amazing job in D.C. At a time when our country probably needed someone like that. To be a successful coach, and really, really a great coach, as well as a motivator and an advocate and a leader. And so I can't believe I'm saying such nice things about John Thomas.
Well, it's facts, though. It's facts.
They are true.
Yeah, they are true. All of it's
true. And I've been on radio shows with them. He was on, you know, when the Hokies first signed 106.7 The Fan in D.C. to do our carry all our football and basketball games. John had a show, and he was on the air there, and I'd be on it. We'd be talking Hokie football, and John would be asking me about, I should call him Coach Thompson. Coach Thompson would be asking me about Frank Beamer, and I would always say, you know, you guys are a lot alike. He's just not quite as tall.
Yeah, he wasn't quite your...
The way you guys care about your kids and fight for your student-athletes and loyal to a core to your kids, and that's the way that goes. So how's your bracket? You got anybody left?
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, I'm okay. My final four, but yeah, I didn't have a great first 2 days, man. I mean, I had a lot of upsets picked. I always like to do that, and I missed most of them. I didn't have a great first 2 days at all, so...
I had Auburn going all the way, man.
Did you? Well, I get it.
Made it all the way to 4 o'clock on Friday.
That was it.
Yeah. And maybe Tennessee is the team that gets this thing done.
Yeah.
Or Houston.
Could be. Yeah. Well, enjoy the games, man. I know you will. There you go. That's Bill Roth, the voice of Tech Football here, the Roth Report. We'll take a break. Come back. From one Hall of Famer to the next, David Teal joins us from the Richmond Times-Dispatch as we roll along here on a Wednesday.
From the WRAD News Center, I'm Bill Trafuro with the latest news in the New River Valley. Kenny Brooks, the former coach of the Virginia Tech women's basketball program, has left to become the coach of Kentucky. In his 8 seasons at Virginia Tech, he led the team to 180 wins and achieved significant milestones such as winning the ACC tournament and reaching the Final Four. His departure came after the Hokies lost in the NCAA tournament. Kentucky hired Brooks due to his successful coaching history and vision for their program. However, Brooks' exit may result in significant roster changes for Virginia Tech, including potential transfers and a potential loss of recruits. The Mountain Valley Pipeline has been cited by state regulators for multiple rule violations related to environmental impacts here in Southwest Virginia. The Department of Environmental Quality is demanding a fine of $34,000. Violations include throwing dirt and rocks into streams, damaging a wetland during construction, and failing to maintain devices meant to control muddy runoff. Critics are arguing that the enforcement actions are inadequate. Mountain Valley did not dispute the latest findings and stated that the issues were quickly resolved. This is not the first time that the pipeline has faced violations, with over 300 alleged infractions settled in 2019 for $2.15 million. In state news, Governor Youngkin says that he's vetoed a group of bills passed by the General Assembly because they would violate the rights of gun owners. The governor's office announced 30 vetoes yesterday, including restrictions on the sale and possession of automatic weapons supported by Democrats. Youngkin also offered amendments to 6 gun-related bills, including one that would establish a Department of Education work group to outline parental responsibility for safe storage of household firearms. And that's your news update. From the WRAD News Center, I'm Bill Trafuro.
First in Maine is a beautiful shopping center located right here in Blacksburg and has the perfect mix of shops, restaurants, and entertainment. Grab some new shoes and accessories at Runabout Sports and Walkabout Outfitter to make your hikes around the NRV even better. Looking to grab a bite to eat? Well, First in Maine has great restaurants like Avellino's and Bull and Bones. Looking for some family entertainment? Then check out B&B Theaters for movies, the arcade, and bowling. And True Value Hardware for your home improvement projects. Visit First in Maine today, the official entertainment destination of Virginia Tech Athletics. You know, buying or selling a home is a really important decision. Well, trust that decision to the Louise Baker team with Long & Foster Realtors. Louise, Marshall, and Rhonda have combined experience of 40-plus years right here in the New River Valley. Check their website, nrvhomes.com, to search properties. They'll give you home field advantage in a competitive market. ¶¶